made new. We started that last week. And the resurrection changes everything. Just one little tweak I would make in that video. It's not Easter that changed it. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to study your word together. God, thank you for those who are gathered here and all those who are listening and will be listening online. Father, thank you for your anointing. We know your word is anointed. Well, Lord, anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So warm greetings from Leonard and I. We're so glad that you're here this morning to worship today. And last weekend, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday together. And we learned how it is our faith in Jesus Christ that makes us new. And when we confess with our mouths and believe with our hearts that Jesus was raised from the dead, he is the Son of God, the scripture says we will be saved. And that's the good news of the resurrection for everyone who believes. And for those of you who were not here last week, we had two young men give their lives to the Lord last week. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise. And one of them was baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are on the move. And so once again, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available for each one of us today. And that means that through our faith in Jesus, God gives us all that we need to live a transformed life and to be made new. And we'll continue today as we go into the second message of this series, which is moving past your past. So let's take a look at our first scripture. Philippians 3:12. If you'd like to read them with me, please go ahead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So it's like, church, if we recognize the season that we're in, we're like in a full court press. To press into God and to receive all the benefits that he has given us through this great salvation. You've got to press in to take a hold of what he has done. The reason you have to press in is there is so much. I don't think we've scratched the surface of what God has for us as his children, as his people. He is a loving God who wants to take care of us and watch over us. And so many times we leave him out of the equation. And so today, recognize we are pressing in to take a hold of what God has given to us. And one of the incredible results of your faith in Jesus is that you're given the power to move past your past. Alexander Pope said, "To err is human, to forgive is divine." And an anonymous author said, "To err is human, to blame it on someone else is more human." Taking responsibility for what's ours. Somebody say amen. Amen. So one of the greatest obstacles we can have in growing in our faith and in the ability to fully receive the forgiveness of God is that we hold on to our past. And I just want to remind you this morning that all of your shortcomings, all of our mistakes, all of our failures do not have the last or final say over us. Our living Savior is the one who has the last word and the final say. Someone give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. So we're made new in Christ. And he's given us the power to move past our past. So I'd encourage you, if you would like to make this declaration, I'll say it. You can repeat it. I have been made new in Christ. He has given me power to move past my past. Let's say it again. I have been made new in Christ. He has given me power to move past my past. Give the Lord a thanks for that. We thank you, Lord, for that. All of us have a past. Somebody say amen. When Leonard and I meet with people and they're in their final stages of life, there's always a question that we ask them, and that is, do you have any unfinished business? Is there anyone in your life that you haven't forgiven or made things right with? Because there's something about becoming aware of our own mortality that causes us to wrestle with our past. And we can all feel held back by our history from time to time, whether we're in those final stages of life or not. But we could all be in the final stage of life and not know we're in the final stage of life. Is that right? Because no one knows the minute or the hour. Nobody knows when your appointment is. But it's just being aware of. And sometimes these thoughts will just come up. Suddenly you have this thought in your mind. You remember how you treated someone. Or you might remember how you disciplined your children or how you handled a situation at work. And it just begins to haunt you. Have you ever experienced that? Wave at me. Am I talking to the right crowd this morning? Yeah, and you know, that's a process that goes on our entire life, is being able to leave the past behind. But we're going to go on here. The life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus changed everything. And God proved his love by sending his son into the world. And he makes his grace available to us in the name of Jesus Christ to be forgiven. And he's given us the power, the resurrection power, to move past our past. So you are a work in progress. Tell your neighbor, you are a work in progress. That makes you laugh, doesn't it? In the scripture, there are many men and women in the Bible who struggled to reconcile their past. And one of those men is Paul. Before Paul had an encounter with Jesus, his name was Saul. And he was a persecutor of the church and an enemy of God's people. He killed a lot of church folks, and he really thought he was doing the right thing. And he did many things that were a great source that would bring a person shame and guilt and have those haunting memories. But when Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, he addressed his approach to dealing with his past. And that's in Philippians 3, 13 to 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. You know, the first thing Paul acknowledged was he has not arrived. And none of us have either. We have not arrived. God has a destination for us. He has a work for us to do. And it's right in front of us. God has called us to something because we are a work in progress. Paul says, I'm a work in progress here. I haven't arrived yet, but I do want you to know that I am committed to allowing God to finish his work in me by forgetting what is behind me. You know, there are lessons that we learn from the mistakes we make, from the sins we commit, from the decisions, you know, the consequences. Gabe talked about it this morning. There's consequences. We learn from those things. We take the fruit from those things, and we have to move on. Otherwise, we're constantly being pulled backwards. So all the evil things that Paul had done to the early Christians, he said, I'm forgetting about. And he wasn't sidestepping his responsibility. But instead, he was confident that God had great things ahead for him. It was an upward call. And that God would lift him higher because he was completely forgiven. He received God's forgiveness. And he knew that if he spent his days focused on what had happened, he would not be prepared for what was yet to come. And often this is a scheme of the enemy to deceive you into looking backwards instead of looking forwards. Somebody say amen. And, you know, that's why we weren't meant to drive our cars looking in our rearview mirror. We're supposed to be looking out the windshield, not the rear view mirror. If you depend completely on that, even when you're backing up, sometimes you can make a mistake. You know, before we had cameras and all the alarms and stuff, it was really a challenge because you got a lot of blind spots when you're looking through just that little tiny mirror trying to get backwards. You can end up hitting something. I'm not saying that I've done that, but I could have. But God created us to move forward and to look forward. So you can look at it like you're choosing to look out of the windshield of life rather than in the rear view mirror of your past. So many of us in this room find ourselves sometimes stuck in a rut because we cannot or will not receive the grace of God and in turn forgive ourselves. Let's look at some definitions of forgiveness. To forgive, in Greek, aphiemi is the Greek word, and it means to send from, to send forth, to send away, to grant relief from payment of debt. And the old English word for it is forgiven. Interesting how they used to spell it. And it says it is means to give up the right to have that which is perfect. You know, sometimes we want things perfect. And it's to give forth acceptance and grace. And forgiveness is the act of pardoning an offender from the penalty of wrongdoing. The act of granting relief from payment of debt. The act of choosing to turn loose the bitter bondages of forgiveness, of unforgiveness. The bondages are rage, resentment, retaliation, rejection, and revenge. And these are the bitter bondages that we're held in when we hold unforgiveness. Let's go on. The Lord has forgiven you. I was thinking about this morning, the only petition in the Lord's Prayer that has a condition attached to it is the one on forgiveness. It says, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And I'm sure all of us here have probably prayed that prayer many times. As we is the key. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So you will be forgiven as much as you have forgiven. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And so that includes yourself. The Lord has forgiven you. And so receiving that forgiveness into our heart and forgiving ourselves. Sometimes the hardest person to forgive is ourselves. And the truth is there's no way to rewrite history. What's done's been done. And when we relive our past by saying things like, we should have, or if only we had. Have you ever said that phrase? If only I had done such and such. We're bringing about, we are not bringing about any meaningless change in our life when we're saying those things. If only I had, or if I would have. Instead, we're robbing ourselves of the good work that Jesus Christ has done in our lives. And through his sacrifice on the cross, we become like a sailboat in the water without wind. We're just not going anywhere. We're stagnant with no source of power. I read a quote this week that said, everyone should have a large cemetery in which to bury their faults and the faults of their friends. So we must move past our past. And the scripture says we must put it to death. So it's not an easy task. I'm not saying this is simple. I'm not saying it happens overnight, because often we're tempted to peek back at our past, or something comes up and we allow it to work in us and irritate us and frustrate us and condemn ourselves. But Paul said this in Galatians 2:20 to 21. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Jesus died in vain. So according to Paul, our past sins, shortcomings, missteps must be crucified with Christ. They must be nailed to the cross and put to death. I am crucified with Christ. When you're buried in Jesus' name in baptism, you are buried in his name and covered. Everything from the past. I'm so excited about baptism service coming up this month. It's an exciting time, you know. And just one person came to us and said, I would like to be baptized this month. And so there have been several others that said, I'd like to be too. And so that's going to happen the last Sunday of the month. But when you're buried in that water, you're covered. You know, it's an outward act that of what has taken place on the inside. The Lord covers us. The blood of Jesus washes away our sins. But when we are buried in that water, it is a public confession of what has happened on the inside of us. And this is, Paul is talking about crucified. I am crucified with Christ. My old man has died. We have to die to our old self in order to come alive in the new possibilities and opportunity that God has ahead for us. So he takes away the old and brings in the new, but he can't bring in the new unless we'll let go of the old. Because you can go through all of that and still feel guilty and struggle with your past and the things that you've done. And you know, there's always someone around there you to probably remind you of something. Somebody's waving at me back there. But we put to death our past by nailing it to the cross of Christ. And that releases the power in our lives to do what God has called us to do. He makes us new. He makes us clean. We can't do that for ourselves. It takes help from above. Somebody say amen. So we're going to move forward in faith. And Paul gives us the secret of how to live in the light of the forgiveness of God. In the Galatian passage, when he says that he now lives his life by faith in the Son of God. So we have been forgiven, and we have let go of the past, and God will take us into our future. But in order to do that, we have to live in the newness of life that Jesus offers us. And so that is an act of faith. Faith gives us confidence that it is because of God's love that we have been forgiven. And it is because of God's love that we can receive forgiveness in the future. We're going to need forgiveness again. Tell your neighbor, you're going to need it again. And God never runs out. Thank you, Lord. He hears our every cry. He hears us every time we call out to him and ask for forgiveness, you know. And the scripture says he's faithful, he's just to forgive us of our sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So if you interact with people in any way, there will be plenty of opportunities to give forgiveness. Forgiveness is a gift. It's something you don't have to give. You have to choose to give forgiveness to people. It is a precious gift. If you've been in a situation where you needed forgiveness, there's just something about someone saying, you're forgiven. I forgive you. And that's what Jesus says to us when we come to him. I have a gift of forgiveness. I forgive you. You are forgiven. And so if you're in the middle of a conflict, I want to encourage you, if you're arguing with someone, and I'm sure nobody here ever gets in arguments, oh, but the best way to get the last word in is to be the one that apologizes. Yeah. Get the last word in. I know some of you like the last word. I know when I text people, I know the ones who like to get the last word in, so I just let them get it in. Someone's nodding their head back there. Oh. So our Heavenly Father treats us with such compassion. And He knows our brokenness. And He loves us, cares for us, and is kind to us. And it's because of that love for you and me that our past is covered. And sometimes, I read this suggestion, that sometimes it's helpful to imagine in our minds the face of God right before us. And some people see disappointment on His face. And often we imagine God is so frustrated with us. You know, and that's a human quality. We get so frustrated with people. We think God does that too. That He's so frustrated with us. But the Bible tells us that God's countenance towards us is approval, acceptance, forgiveness, and affection. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. Psalm 103, verse 8 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy." And I heard a great quote, and this one is anonymous, that says, "Grace is the face that love wears when it meets imperfection." Isn't that beautiful? You can move past your past because of the grace of God. You may need to seek forgiveness for something that happened. You may need to put boundaries in place. You may need to choose to live differently in the future. What you don't need to do is carry around guilt and shame, because the cross allows you to move past your past. Psalm 103, verses 10 and 12. Love this. "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." Thank You, Lord. Sometimes, like I said earlier, the hardest person to forgive is yourself. Because we become our own judge, jury, and executioner. And we just keep beating ourselves up and condemning ourselves. But understand, nothing destroys a person more quickly than constantly recalling shameful deeds that have been done, or letting the record play over and over in our minds. It's a burden too heavy for us to carry. It weighs us down, and it can result in just a continual brewing on the inside of us. And people who feel good about themselves are people who have accepted Christ completely and have forgiven themselves and forgiven others. And like I shared before, sometimes it's easier to forgive others than it is to forgive yourself. But with the grace of God and the help of God, we can forgive ourselves. And the ability to forgive is an attitude. Forgiveness has to be a heart decision, and then you have to have the attitude, that person is forgiven, or the attitude, I am forgiven. Because you don't always feel it. It's not always emotional when you forgive someone, Bishop shares a story about a minister that he had mentored and trained, spiritual son, and this spiritual son turned his back on him. And Bishop said it was the hardest thing. It was just such a hard thing to go through. And he spoke it out, prayed it out, that he forgave him. But he said it was a whole year before he ever felt it in his heart that the work that God was doing in him was done. So God is doing a work in us. We are work in progress. And the key attitude we need to develop in order to get along with people is to have that attitude of forgiveness. Forgiving ourselves and forgiving other people. And so I do have a prayer to pray if you'd like to pray it along with the congregation. Just a proclamation to receive the forgiveness and the grace that God has for us today. So if you'd like to read it. God, I receive your forgiveness and grace for me. I know I do not deserve it, but I know that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection has made it available to me. Free me for joyful obedience as I seek to live life your way. Thank you for making me new. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Thank you, Lord, for making us new. Two scriptures in closing. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And this is a great scripture to use when you start to feel like condemnation is coming on and you start having all these thoughts rolling through your head. You just say it out loud. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And you can just begin to declare it. I'm in Christ Jesus. I am not condemned. I am forgiven. I am loved and I am accepted. I am not rejected. God loves me. I'm his child. And you just begin to push that away from you, because if you let that come in, it's a spiraling effect. And it will just pull you down. You'll get depressed. You'll get anxious. All of those moods come in when we allow those thoughts of condemnation just to rest over us. And so there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So we live a sacrificial life to the Lord. That's what he desires. Whatever you're doing, when you're out in the marketplace, when you're working, when you're in the store, whatever's going on, when you're at home and your family, we live a life that glorifies God. Somebody say amen. 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 That's what we're supposed to do. We're still in this world. We still have work to do. We still need to interact with people. We need to get out in the community. And what a blessing yesterday to have the community in the house. This place was packed. And it was a beautiful homegoing celebration for Minister Sonia's, one of her nephews passed away. And I think he was just 47 years old and was a sudden thing. And they were shocked at that. But, you know, God knew. And like they said, God had other plans for him. And so they celebrated the life that he accomplished here on earth. But we had a lot of community people in here. And we had church together. And I know that pleases the Lord when we gather. Whether there's 10, 20, 30, 40, or 400 in the house. You know, it's always good to see all the seats full, because then we know what it looks like and what it's going to look like. Hallelujah. When the seats are full. But we just thank God for the opportunity to give him praise and celebrate each other. You know, we need to celebrate each other. Amen. I'm celebrating this morning. Brother Brian's here. It's so good to see his smile. You know, we love him. And so when you're not here, we miss you. Who whistled? That wouldn't be my husband, would it? Oh, but it's wonderful. We should celebrate one another's lives. Thank you, Lord, for another day, another Sunday that the body of Christ can come together and praise you together. How beautiful. And the last scripture in closing here, we're going to get ready to receive our communion elements. And Jeff's going to play some music while you're coming to pick those up. And then we'll receive communion. Apostle Leonard's going to officiate that today and do our closing song. But the last scripture is, receive the new thing God is doing in your life. Isaiah 43:18, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Yes, give the Lord a praise. Let's just lift our hands. Lord, we receive the new thing that you're doing in our life, oh God. We have let go of the past. We've chosen to look out the windshield of life and not watch life go by in our rearview mirror, Father. We just thank you, Lord, that you're cutting us loose from the past, from the old history, Father, that we were holding on to. God, I thank you, Lord, that you cause us to be fresh. You cause us to be new. Lord, that you give us a new attitude and a new way of walking and a new way of talking, Lord. And let the new thing for the kingdom of God and for your glory spring forth in our lives in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise.